Welcome to the Elks of Dynasty podcast, Thursday trade edition here. I got some trades, working on a piece for Football Guys, so just I'll preview some of the deals in that I sort of wrote about in there. I think there's a lot of opportunity for guys like Russell Wilson, like Matthew Stafford, like George Kittle. I think there's a couple of ways I think about buying low. I'm becoming a fan of buying high, I'll be honest. I think buying low isn't for – I think where we get in trouble buying low, actually, is younger players, right? And so if we sort of think about what we know about younger players, it is that what's part of the problem with their value is that there's a premium tax on their production, right? So if a rookie – and a 10th year guy are projected to basically have the same next 3 year production window, the market is going to treat that younger guy a lot more expensively, right? He's going to go a lot higher in drafts, going to go a lot higher in ADP than the older guy is. And so you get in trouble is trying to buy into that, right? What do we do? Trade down in rookie drafts, collect veterans if we can, collect more assets, right? Do that sort of thing. When you start trading up for those guys, the unproven guys, like I'll give you a couple examples. James Cook is a good example, right? I generally think like he's probably going to work out like longer term. Like I'd put him at about a 50-50 shot, right? Sort of that base rate for a second round guy. However, right, I think you have to adjust down a little bit. And if you're not really getting a true discount, you're kind of buying into an already inflated, quote, value insulated price. So I'd be really careful about that. So I really have like a couple of rules to think about. If you're buying low, basically off of missed expectations, right? If you're thinking about missed expectations, first, think about what the player has done in the past, right, or what the profile is. So you're thinking about historical profiles, durable profiles. I think about quarterbacks and tight end premiums. Quarterbacks and super flex, obviously. Wide receivers and multiple top 12 seasonal finishes on the resume are good bets. Top three seasonal finishes at tight ends are also good bets, right? There's just a different arc there to those guys. There's not a lot of guys walking around right now that have a top one tight end on their resume. I believe the only two active players that have done that are Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews. So you have to sort of expand it a little bit to the top three because those guys aren't available, but they're just in a different, right? That's a lot. That's a difficult standard to get to. Tight end one, two, and three is a steep increase. So you're thinking about guys that have produced like that, or maybe they haven't gotten all the way to that threshold, they've gotten there at least in a substantial sample size, right? So those are sort of the types of players that I think about, right? On the other hand, I would be careful about buying low on rookies, second year players, like those types of players can be a real trap, right? Because of what we talked about with the value insulation. This is, so again, what's the profile, right? And then the second one is, why is the expectation not being met? And I think to a degree, this is a little bit of, I think there's a couple of things here, right? This is a little bit of a test on the first one, right? Right. The first prong of this is, what's the player done in the past? Well, why are they not meeting expectations? Well, because they haven't done anything, right? They were overinflated to begin with, right? Those sorts of things for younger players, right? That's kind of, you're answering that question a little bit twice. For the vets, I think you really need to think about, why aren't they meeting expectation? And this is sort of why I go back to Russell Wilson. I keep coming back to Russell Wilson because I think in 5 years, we're going to say like, this is kind of the Aaron Rodgers window to buying him low. I look at him and so there's some ways that you could measure like how great someone's career is. I think he's not probably an all-timer. I think he's probably a Hall of Famer if he retired today. I think he'll be a Hall of Famer by the time it's all said and done. I don't think we'll have a ton of doubt about that. But it's been a very good career, and I'm not sure at any given point he's the best quarterback in any given year, right? So if you sort of think about that, he never won an MVP, like those sorts of things, you have to sort of balance that a little bit. Like I think there's an argument to be made that if you're in the top five, six, something like that for a decade plus, that's probably what you're thinking about. There's different resumes and everything. But overall, when you look at it, it's right. That's that type of top five over the last decade type of performance for him. That's a durable profile, right? That's one that ages well, especially in your mid-30s, right? That's one that sort of is okay, right? That's typically all right. I look at Russell Wilson from a couple of ways, right? You look at how good he's been in his career, and you just think about how this year's a disappointment for him. You have to ask yourself, there's one of really two things that's going on. Either he's completely fallen off an age cliff at 34, or he's going through a rough patch in his career. Which one of those things is more likely? Well, let's just put it in context for a second. During this five-game stretch, he has averaged 7.4 yards per attempt. It's actually 0.4 yards per attempt below his career average, which actually, like, when you think about how hysterical some of the reaction has been, it's probably not that bad. Like, that's the odd part. Like, it's probably not that big of a difference. You know, and the context, right, there's been some, I think, some more graphic things that have not gone right, right? I think he's becoming a little bit he's got a little bit of the Carson Wentz thing, right? He's kind of failing in ugly ways right now. And I think that's kind of, that is to some degree tainting his price, probably more so than it deserves to be tainted. But so that's where Russell Wilson sits, right? In the context, that's his worst performance of his career. Second worst performance of his career, 7.2 yards per attempt in 2017 was the worst. But put another way, Wilson's down year is more than a half a yard per attempt better than Trevor Lawrence's career best. Trevor Lawrence's career best is 6.8. Russell Wilson's career worst is 7. This year is 7.4. It's the second worst, right? And when you look at Trevor Lawrence's career average, 6.2, right? So when you start thinking about just the difference of how high up Russell Wilson is and how, quote, disappointing he is and how, quote, encouraged people are by Trevor Lawrence, you see why these profiles don't end up coming together, right? That's it right there. Like, that's, if you just want to put two players, two stats, and discuss why Arbor approach to quarterback works, it's that. Okay, it's that. So that with the context, I do think we're going to be in on buying him. We're in on buying Stafford. And I'm going to buy Kittle as well. Again, I have much more become, and I think this will be maybe something we think about even more commonly going forward. It's a lesson I think we've learned. It's a place we've learned it, I think, over and over again. And you know, when player shows you he's elite, you have to hang on to that for a really long time. And I think even when there's some injury stuff, like, you have to be sort of patient with that stuff, even if it's like a Saquon Barkley thing where it feels like multiple years, right? I think that's a lesson that we learned. Even if it appears like Kelce should be, heading into an age cliff, like, you kind of buy into that because it becomes cheaper along the way. You kind of buy into that. And I think that's the case with these guys here that we're mentioning, Kittle, Stafford, and Kelce, right? I think all of those guys sort of fit that arc. So some thoughts here. So we'll just do some trades, and I'm not even going to count them today. I'm just going to give you a bunch of trades. Higgins for Russell Wilson and Brian Robinson. I think that there's a chance that T. Higgins is the best wide receiver that plays for Joe Burrow over the next decade. I think that's possible. That being said, when you look at some of the ranges of outcome stuff, he's performing near the top of his, and Jamar Chase isn't performing at the bottom of his, but he's something not near, not up at the top, right? Like, he was like middle to bottom third type of deal, right? That said, how many wide receivers are sort of in that range where you could be like, all right, well, I kind of like Higgins, kind of like this guy, kind of like that guy, right? The scarcity of this isn't even a question, right? You're talking about an incredibly not scarce asset, right? You could go get Amon-Ra St. Brown. You could go get Drake London. Maybe you like A.J. Brown better. Maybe you want to air older and go Tyreek Hill or Stephon Diggs. Or, I mean, I could keep there Davante Adams. Or, you know, I could keep going and going and going and going on this list. I could do that. And that's kind of the point, right, is that they're not scarce. What is scarce? High-end quarterback play. Depressed value, high-end quarterback play. This is an easy trade. This is an easy trade. And this is a trade that even in ADP might look like a loss for the Wilson side. It's really hard to get your hands on a starting quarterback without giving one up. And you're giving up the least scarce position. And you're getting Brian Robinson back on top of it. Like, this is an all-time great deal. an all-time great deal. So that's the Wilson side there. Nick Chubb and Jimmy Garoppolo for Wilson is a very similar type of deal, right? You're giving a quarterback in this one, but you're giving a running back. Again, there's not really that many premium running backs, and I'm not sure at this point in Chubb's career, I don't think he qualifies, right? You're giving him for an elite asset, and Russell Wilson, you do that 100 times over. A second and a first next year for Russell Wilson, a fourth, a fifth, and a fifth, like spread out over the next 2 years. Easy one. Again, just use as a placeholder Trevor Lawrence for that first. And just sort of think about that with the analysis that we did up above, right? That's kind of an easy one. Odell Beckham, a second and a fourth for Russell Wilson. Like, that's just laughable. Some of the Stafford ones. Kyren Williams, a second and a third for Stafford and Taysom Hill. Ryan Tannehill and a second for Stafford. Mac Jones and a third for Stafford. All of them. Those are clear Stafford ones to me. You haven't even need to give up a first to get Stafford in any of those. Just for what that's worth. Maybe when you add up Tannehill and Mac Jones, but you haven't had to give a liquid first. That is a good one there. I think this one's super, super duper savvy. It's Calvin Ridley in a second for George Kittle and two PPR for tight end. I think it's the safe leagues format. That one's, I think, super savvy. And it's a really good use of a guy like Ridley. Damian Pierce, Rashad Bateman, Dawson Knox for Josh Jacobs, Wandell Robinson, and George Kittle. I would argue that you're getting better at two positions in this deal. You're certainly getting better at one, and I don't think you're getting any worse at the other one, right? So depending on how you want to view Damian Pierce versus Josh Jacobs, I think Josh Jacobs is better than Damian Pierce, and I would take Josh Jacobs ahead of Damian Pierce. That said, even if you don't believe that or you think they're close, right, you just set those guys aside. It's Rashad Bateman and Dawson Knox for Wandell Robinson and George Kittle. You do that 100 times over. Again, you are paying from a non-premium. The downgrade that you are taking in this trade is at a non-premium position, right? Always think about that. Like, when you can do that, when you can take the downgrade at a non-premium position, it's an excellent spot to do that in. And I think arguably you're certainly not losing at running back, but the person thinks that they are, right? That the person getting Pierce thinks it's an upgrade over Josh Jacobs. Certainly does that. I don't believe that. So I think this is a smash deal for the Jacobs Kittle side. You might be getting the best two players in this deal. I think you are. So, and then here's another one. It's James Cook, Khalil Shakir, a second, a third, and another future second for George Kittle and Cousins. I don't think Cousins is like super depressed or anything, but he fits in this Kittle discussion. That's a smashing success. Right? You haven't even need to give up a first, right? Like, you might not have even drafted Cook in the first, right? Last year in a down class. Right. So I think that those are really interesting ways to go about it. And I think this is the time where you say to folks, hey, what are you looking for? Right. I don't know what helps you, you know, and I do the, not even necessarily like it's a cold, I guess it's kind of a cold call, but I'm not like just coming up and like pitching stuff and be like, hey, listen, you've got Russell Wilson. What's the price that you're looking for? I'm interested in the price you're looking for. And again, it's not always going to work, but you might be surprised. You might be surprised. They might be interested in players that you wouldn't have thought of because we value the quarterback position really highly. They might not. So be open to that. I'd do it on Stafford. Be interested in doing it on Kittle as well. And yeah, so there's some thoughts there. Okay, so I'll just run down some additional trades here, just some stuff that I'm seeing in the market. There's some interesting stuff here. So Breece Hall and Julio for AJ Dillon and T Higgins. That is a stock PPR deal there. Not that super much matters. I think you're taking a big downgrade from Breece Hall to AJ Dillon, at least certainly in perception, probably in role. You know, I like Higgins a lot. I think the answer is Breece Hall, but I'd see if I could get something better than Julio, right? But that's probably roster fodder would be my guess in that deal. I don't know. That's probably what I'm guessing. I think I would lean towards Breece Hall in this deal. Even though I like both the players on the other side, I think Hall's going to be like, he's probably a top four, top five running back right now. And I don't think maybe the market has necessarily caught up to that. Burrow and a third for Trey Lance, a first and a second. Again, I'm not even a huge Burrow believer. I'm a little bit of a Burrow skeptic, but I'm taking Burrow here, right? Like, we have proof of concept that he can play. I'm not sure he's necessarily elite, but he's sort of in the window of like, all right, he's on the board for a hit, right? And we know that those guys outproduce guys that aren't, right? Especially where Lance is heading into year, basically year three without playing since like 2019, right? So a lot of, you know, that's going to be a lot there of football not played, basically three full seasons of not playing. You know, give me the first, right? And we know that just think about, or give me Burrow. And we know that when you compare Burrow to that future first, right, Burrow's going to smash that as well. So you just sort of look at that. And I think I would take Burrow there. And again, that's probably one where that's how you get out of Lance. And if that's a landing spot for Burrow, at least you can then pivot right around. So that would be sort of my thought there. Damian Pierce, Lazard, and Pat Freiermuth. This is two PPR. This looks like a safe leagues format for Isaiah Pacheco, Sky Moore, TJ Hockenson, and a first. So a lot going on there. I think you're arguably getting better. I don't know. The tight ends are pretty close. This feels like, you know, you could go either way on Freiermuth versus Hockenson. I'd probably take Hockenson, but again, this is the range where you don't want to make super strong bets, right? So just sort of set those guys aside for a second. Sky Moore and Lazard feel close enough. Pacheco and a first for Pierce. I don't know. I'm like sort of interested. And then you sort of step back a second. Would you say, all right, I'd probably rather have Hockenson maybe buy a little bit over Freiermuth? I would take that side just because I think it's more flexible. And I think it's a bet against Pierce sort of long term. And I think that's the right bet at that cost, even though like I was interested in him coming out. But I think he's gotten a little bit overpriced for what he is. Juju for Keenan Allen. Give me the Keenan Allen side on this. At least I can see a venue with which he is a producer and a difference maker. Let's see. A couple other ones here. We'll just keep going down. Mac Jones, DeAndre Swift, Javonte Williams, and George Kittle for Josh Allen, Pat Freiermuth, and Daniel Bellinger. I'm going to pull this one on Twitter because I'm fascinated by what people are going to think. This one's interesting. Again, you have to sort of – let's take a step back and just sort of work our way towards the big reveal of this one. Bellinger doesn't matter to this deal. So this is really Freiermuth and Allen versus the other guys, essentially. Just take Kittle and Freiermuth and set them aside for a second, right? I think Kittle's worth more than Freiermuth is, but I think that, you could see a scenario where they're actually pretty close at the end of the year if Kittle's going to kind of struggle or be injured and that sort of stuff. And Freiermuth is playing pretty well. I could see how they're pretty close. You got Javonte Williams, who's injured. You got DeAndre Swift. And then you got Mac Jones. And you're giving him for Josh Allen. That's the price that it costs to pay. That's why it's probably cheaper to do it in a startup draft, because you can at least mold the team in a way that you like better. But, man, I'm having a really hard time not taking Josh Allen, not like a lot of the other guys on that side, especially Swift and Kittle. So I think that's a Josh Allen one. But, man, that is a lot of that's a lot to pay. But I think – you know, depending on how you look at the Freiermuth one versus Kittle, I think that's an interesting pivot. Again, this is probably the way, like, I would much rather do this with Javonte Williams than give him a future first for him, right? Like, that's, I think this is the way that you do it. You keep packaging up, you go up the board, up the board, up the board. I really like that. Jacobs in London, it's going to be tough to lose that deal. Najee Harris, a second, and Calvin Ridley's on the other side. Yeah, give me Jacobs and London. I would have... Let's see. We'll just do the math here. I would have London ahead of Harris, I think, and then I would have Jacobs ahead of Ridley in the second. So that's kind of how I do the math there. I mentioned actually another one that came up, Ridley and a second for Kittle. So that's where I found that one for the stuff I was talking about earlier. Higbee for Colcomb, a second and a fourth. This is actually non-tight end premium. You can start like up to seven. And so Higbee is probably in your lineup here. Man, everything in my being says in this format you take the Komet second and the fourth side, but it's not especially in a non-premium format, right? You take it's tough to get seconds plus for tight ends, and I'd be curious about the roster size if like Komet's going to be someone you're going to want to like love to hold at this point. But yeah, I mean, I'm taking the pick side in Komet, even though I'm a big fan of Higbee. I just don't think that's the format of which you want to sort of do that deal. Let's see. Next one here is Garrett Wilson for George Pickens. Give me Garrett Wilson. This one's savvy too and interesting. And then we'll have one more after that. So second to last one here, Michael Pittman for Kenneth Walker. And this looks, this is a, it looks like it's a safe leagues format. It's a PPR, straight PPR, start three wide receivers, two running backs. Man, I'm having a really hard time not taking Walker. I know that like the hit rate on a guy like Pittman, he's already done it. It's pretty interesting there. I'm taking Walker. And I think, I'm super interested in Walker, even though I realize that maybe Pittman's a little bit higher floor guy. I'm interested in Walker, and I think he's performed well to start the season. So give me Walker. And then, last but not least here, we've got Marquise Brown, Romeo Dobbs, and Chris Godwin for Alvin Kamara, DK Metcalf in 2/3, one of them in 2025, one of them next year. This is interesting. Again, I don't love the going from a running back and a wide receiver to three wide receivers. I sort of don't like that construct. But I don't know how much different Marquise Brown is versus DK Metcalf going forward. That'd be one thing that I would say. And then you sort of look at it and you're like, all right, do you like Godwin and Kamara, right? I think I'm a little bit more of a Godwin skeptic because he's been banged up. He's recovering from an ACL. Like, we don't know sort of the future, what his future holds and all that stuff in terms of quarterback and all that stuff, where I think Kamara has the ability to really smash. We saw that this past week, you know, both as a runner and a receiver. I'm leaning the Kamara and Metcalf side, but I understand the other side. That would sort of be what I would say. Again, Dobbs, I like him. I think it's pretty close, and I could see both angles of it. Just from a roster construction perspective, I think I'd rather have the Kamara side. I mean, three wide receivers, I don't know when I'm ever going to get all three of those guys in a lineup where it's, you know, and it's yeah, it's start two wide receivers. So already you're building a bunch of people into your flex. And I think that that's not how you want to do it. So give me the Kamara Metcalf side from a roster construction perspective. All right. Well, that's going to do it here for this edition. A bunch of trade stuff. Just trade Thursday. I don't even need to put 10 trades. Just trade Thursday. So some theories, some trades, some ideas, some different tactics to maybe employ. And that'll do it for this edition. All right. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We're going to talk again real soon.